This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Everybody say, see the vision. See the vision. I think we have a title up there somewhere. There it is. See the vision. There's also another one that I could have named it, calling thirst. Thirst. I want to read in Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Say, see visions. The title is See the Vision. Say it like you mean it. See the vision. Your young men shall see visions. Now, to see and to have vision would seem to be the same thing. If I can see it, I have vision of it. If I have vision, I can see. So it would really, it could be a double metaphor if you look at it that way. Your young men shall see, or shall vision visions. It's not like that. The word see is translated differently in the original language than the word vision is. And basically, the word see here in the original language does not mean to see as to behold something. It rather means to see as to realize or attain or obtain. So what God is saying here is, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your men shall see what they have been believing for and have been given a vision of. They shall attain and obtain what God has put in their heart, and the vision that he's placed in your heart, it is coming to pass. When? In the last day. And so what God is saying, in this season, God is pouring out his spirit, and what you have had in your heart as a vision, the Lord says, you're seeing it come to pass in a time such as this. Somebody say amen. And that is what I want to talk about this morning. I believe it's time for you to see the vision come to pass. I believe that you have a vision in your heart. Some of you have given up on it. Some of you have displaced it with something else. Some of you have just let it set and you're numb to it. Others of you are fighting for everything you've got and you're saying, where's the beef? But God is saying, hold fast. I am pouring out my spirit. I am bringing these things to pass. If you believe it, say yes. So, the author, then, of this scripture is not just leaving the vision in the spiritual realm. He's saying that the thing that you have spiritually visualized and has come from God and yet hasn't happened yet will actually physically materialize in this season. That which you have materialized, that which you have visualized will materialize in this season. Say, in this season. As an act of faith, say it again, in this season. That is why the enemy of your soul has worked diligently to abort you from having a visualization of seeing yourself any better off than you have been or than you are right now. What are you saying? The enemy is real, but he is only able to deceive. And he is busy trying to deceive you into thinking that you are not going to be progressing. He does not want to see you to see yourself as progressing. He doesn't want you to see yourself as going forward, as overcoming, as walking in victory, as being consecrated, as living holy. Oh my. Walking in deliverance. He doesn't want you to see yourself as being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He would much rather you see yourself in terms of you failing, of you falling, of you getting sick, going down, of you aging, of you getting drunk, of you getting depressed. But I am here to tell you, I have a vision and it's from above. And I'm not going to let the devil tell me what I think or what I feel or what God's destiny is for me. Because I believe the Spirit of God is pouring out his power on all flesh. And I believe that we as sons and daughters are going to prophesy and say, I'm believing what God's vision is for my life. Hallelujah. If you envision yourself doing right, you will do right. If you spend all of your time envisioning yourself going wrong, then you will never be able to do right. So it depends on what realm you are dwelling in or walking in as to what will materialize in your life. Visualization is a powerful thing. There are people who can fight for the vision. Fight for the vision. And yet there are others that won't fight. They're just passive. They'll say, oh, well, you know what? I'm doing okay, and I'll just take what life's giving me. I'm good, you know. And then there are other people that'll say, you know what? I'm not happy with what I've got. It doesn't mean that they're ungrateful. It doesn't mean that they're dissatisfied with God, but they know there's more. And they're believing the vision has not yet come to pass, but they believe it is coming to pass. And some of the people that walk in here, they're not even saved, and they've got that spirit about them. They've got that fight. I'm not going to quit. I have a goal. How many of you know people like that? That I've got a goal fixed in my heart and in my mind, and it hasn't come to pass, and I am being fought, but I'm not quitting. You know what? Well, I'm not that way. I'm going to be passive. That'll be fine as long as you like what life's giving you. But if you don't like what life's giving you, you need to have another approach. Because otherwise, life has a way of mowing you down. Somebody say, uh-huh. So what do you do? What do you do when all of a sudden a famine or a drought breaks out in your life? A drought? You mean no water? Well, a drought of many things. You can have a drought of finance, a drought of harmony in your marriage, a drought of good health, a drought of hope, a drought of vision, a drought of perspective, a drought of joy, a drought of anything you feel like you have a need of. You may have a drought on one side of your life, and yet on another side, you can be doing well. Have you ever noticed that? You know, people that are highly driven, they're successful, they don't want to admit that they have a need. It's pride. I got it together. Now, I understand that that's what drives them. They're not always belly aching. They're not always woe is me-ism. How many of you know that's a good thing? But then there are times when, you know what, I don't care who you are. You may be highly successful, but the enemy's not going to leave you alone, and life is not going to leave you alone, and there are going to be times when you're going to need some help. Somebody say amen. You need to be wise enough to know that you need help. Help me, Lord, right now. Help me, Lord, right now. I want you to be aware that wherever you are in your life, God has a vision for your life. And there are things that he is desperately wanting to bring to pass in your life. He hasn't given up. And I'll tell you who else hasn't given up. God hasn't given up on you, and the devil hasn't given up on you. He's not giving up on aborting anything that God gave you to become or be destined to fulfill. But you and I can be passive, or we can say, well, it's not for me. Or we can say, well, I'm good in this area and this area and this area, and I'm not going to worry about this area, and I'm not going to go there because it's just too hard, or whatever the reason may be. But I need you to hear me. No matter how successful you are, no matter how fought you are, I'm here to say, at least at this point, in this juncture, in a message, and I believe it's a word from the Lord, there is more than you're settling for. And we're not selfish to have that attitude. I'm not selfish when I say I'm believing for more. Does anybody believe that with what you've been dealing with, there's got to be more peace? Does anybody believe that what we've been dealing with and what we've been attacked with, that the devil is a liar and that he is the author of confusion and Jesus is Lord over my life and no weapon formed against me will prosper and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I'm going to condemn it. You need to condemn it. But somebody say, there is more. There is more from God than I have yet received. And the enemy doesn't want me to have it. He doesn't want you to have it in your home. He doesn't want you to have it in your life. He don't want you to have it in your children's relationships. He don't want you to have it in your health. He don't want you to have it in your family. He don't want you to have it in your finances. But I have good news. Greater is he that is in me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And I believe that I am righteous because he's made me righteous. So no weapon formed against me can prosper. Say it. No weapon formed against me can possibly prosper. If you condemn it, it means If you condemn those who are judging you, the enemy who's judging you, say, you're done. You know what you're going to do? You got to stand up and say, no, I'm not done. I'm moving forward, and I'm claiming the promises of God, and I'm holding fast to the vision that he placed in my heart, and I will have bread. Say, I'm hungry. I thirst. It's okay, even while you're believing God, especially when you're believing God, to say, there are certain areas that I still feel poor and needy, and I want more. Does anybody want more joy? Does anybody want more power? How many of you got a measure of joy and power? Let me see your hands, of course. But does that mean we're selfish if we want more? How many of you want more? I want more. Let me go ahead and put, I'll just read it. I don't want to get bogged down on it, but I want to read it in Isaiah. I believe it's, is it 41? The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. The Lord will hear them. Did you get that? I am desperate this morning for some of us to say, I'm tired of accepting defeat. I'm tired of accepting hold off. I'm tired of accepting numbness. I'm tired of accepting a vision that is numb, a vision that is delayed, a vision that the devil tells me is denied. I'm here to tell you, your vision delayed is not a vision denied. Your dream delayed is not a dream denied. I refuse to accept the status quo. I will gladly admit in that area I'm still poor and needy. But my God says, blessed is the poor in spirit. I'm not saying, woe is me. I'm saying there's more, and my spirit knows there's more, and I will have everything God wants for me. The poor and needy seek water. Say, seek. But there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst, but I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights. Anybody feel desolate? The higher you go, and yet you feel desolate in certain ways. Greater levels, greater devils. Well, I have good news for you. We need to get on the other side of that. I want to say greater levels, greater Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I will open up rivers in desolate places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. Hallelujah. Oh, see, I know what I'm preaching ahead. There's a valley that I'm in, but there's a rock in that valley. There's the Holy Ghost in that valley, and he's bringing me up in that valley. And in the valley, he can restore my soul. Somebody say amen. My soul don't rule me in the valley. My soul don't rule me on the mountain. My soul don't rule me in the morning. My soul don't rule me at night. My soul does what I tell it, and I tell it, I believe to see the vision come to pass. In the valleys, fountains are in the midst of the valleys. Jesus is the fountain. Jesus is the water. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the river. Jesus is the well. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you drink of the water I shall give you, it shall be like a well in you, springing up into everlasting life. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. And then in verse 19, it says, I haven't memorized this. You have to put it up there. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. Oil is always money, always blessing. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. What does that mean? Flourishing. I shall be like a tree planted by the water. I shall be like a palm planted in the courts of my God. And I will be verdant and green in my old age, and I will flourish. Hallelujah. Thank you for your thunderous silence back there, middle row back. Amen. Wave your hand if you're alive back there. Go ahead. Amen. Well, open your mouth and prove it. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. Go ahead. that they may see and know. Say, see. You got to see the vision. You got to realize the vision. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. There's a day that is here and it's coming. It's here and it's coming. When people are going to look and say, look what the Lord has done. Nobody could have done it but Jesus. Somebody say amen. Is there anything in your life that you've already experienced that God, you look at it and you say, only the Lord could have done that. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, how excellent are thy works and thy greatness, O God. I have good news. If he did it before, he wants to do it again. Hallelujah. But are you desperate enough to say, I am poor and needy? Is anybody here poor and needy in that regard? Hallelujah. Willingness to seek. Willingness to spend the time and the effort to move into his presence and to renew my mind. Tell my soul what to think and feel. That's a job. Can't do it on your own. You're going to need Jesus. I say, you're going to need Jesus. I say, you're going to need Jesus. In the valley, he's the one who restores my soul. I can't restore my soul. Oh, but he can. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, your ability to choose and make choices, and your emotions. How many of you know that your thinking and your feelings can rule you in a negative way? But when you put your spirit in charge of your soul, somebody say amen. Then he follows the vision. The soul follows the vision. Your spirit follows the vision. Don't let those closest to you, keep you from wanting more, from believing for more. You with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Don't let pride keep you from wanting more. Don't let fear keep you from wanting more. Don't let depression keep you from wanting more. Don't let your past keep you from wanting more. Don't let your present keep you from wanting more. Don't let circumstances keep you from wanting more. Don't let other people keep you from wanting more. Don't let your own thoughts keep you from wanting more, from realizing more. If you want it, you can have it. Because as you think in your heart, it's coming to pass. But you need to make up your mind. I want it. Say, I want it. I'm impressed by how Elijah had this ability to see the future and envision something that isn't there yet. That isn't there yet. Let's read in 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 45. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again, go again, go again. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you, my friend. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black and with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And so what amazes me about Elijah is that he could envision something that was not as though it already was and be so positive about it, be so fully convinced of it. How many of you want that faith? Go tell Ahab to eat and drink and get ready because there's an abundance of rain that is coming, that is coming. Very few people will talk abundance during a drought. Very few people will talk abundance during a drought. Some people won't talk about abundance during abundance. You know? Let me just say it like this. It takes all the faith I could muster when I have pain in my body to say, I am the healed of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying now? It takes all the faith I can when my bank account says zero, overdrawn, to say, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vision delayed is not vision denied. Are you with me? Everybody say, see the vision. See the vision. Elijah was able to see the vision, to see it. He knew what to do when famine came. He believed God when it was not popular to believe God. You have to be a little bit radical. You have to be a little bit strange. You have to be a little bit weird to call things that are not as though they already were. I didn't say call things that are as though they are not. I said call things that are not as though they are coming to pass, as they are already done in Jesus' name. Everybody say, by faith. It takes a little bit of weirdness. Oh, they're weird. They believe in healing. Yeah. Yeah, that's me. Thank you for the compliment. Why? Well, you see, I believed when I was sick, and now I'm well. So thank you. Thank you for the compliment. Hallelujah. I had cancer, but I don't have cancer anymore. Thank you. I'm weird. If that's weird, shame me to the wall. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to take a chance and be radical? I said, does anybody want to take a chance and be a weird one? Oh, hallelujah. They won't call you weird when you walk out of the hospital and say, I've got a clean bill of health. I have nothing and now I have plenty. I was miserable and now I'm full of joy. My marriage was on the rocks, but now we're free. Oh, somebody say amen. That's radical, so be it. Hallelujah. 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 They're Christian shaming us. They're faith shaming us. They're fanatic shaming us. Believing in healing and believing for more and believing for God's best is fanatic. I'm a fanatic. You know what I mean by fanatic shaming and Christian shaming? You know, they said, one lady said, you know, she was in a strip joint and she was running for Congress or whatever. And she said, well, they're slut shaming me. Yo, it's in the news. Did you hear it? Did you read it? Yeah, she was doing some stuff. I'm not judging her. I'm just saying she was doing some stuff. And somebody exposed her and said, look, this woman's running for Congress and she's in a strip show. And this, that, and the other. She says, they're slut shaming me. The world doesn't care what you think about them. And everything's fine, and they justify whatever they want to justify. And then they'll run for the highest offices in the land. And yet you and I haven't got the guts to stand up and say, I believe I'm a Christian, and I believe I'm healed, and I believe that I'm well, and I believe that I am the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. You can shame me if you want to. You can call me radical if you want to. I'll gladly take the moniker, because you know what? I'd rather be healed than sick. I'd rather be wealthy than not. Somebody say amen. So let's run for Congress. Amen. Some of you can't get over the fact that I said slut. I'm sorry. You got to be a little bit radical to speak as if it already is, even though it is not. Tell your neighbor, say, call it. Calling things that be not as though they already were. Say, call it. Tell them, call it. Things that be not as though they already were. We need to call it. We need to call it. That's what faith is. I call it the way I see it. I call it the way I see it. I call it the way I see it. How do you see it? I'll tell you how Elijah saw it. Elijah saw that there was a need for rain. And God said it wasn't going to rain. And then he said it was going to rain. And he was just obeying God. And he went up and he says, it's going to rain. You get ready. It's going to rain. And though there was no rain, he still called it like he saw it. What's your vision today? What's your heart? What's your destiny? What's your dream? What's your need? What's your hope? what you're longing, what are you believing for, what are you lacking, what do you still need. You need to call it like you see it. How many of you believe that you can taste and see that the Lord is good? How many of you that you can see things that are not as though they already were? If you can see it, you can call it. If you can call it, you can have it. Somebody say amen. Calling things that be not as though they already were. It takes courage. It takes faith. But faith pleases God. And we need to begin to believe God, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You can tell somebody's vision. Just listen to them for a few minutes. Well, I'm sick, and I don't know if I'm ever going to make that payment, and I just don't know. You know what? That's the vision. How many of you understand you need to abort that kind of thinking? You need to tell your soul to shut up, and you need to get the vision of God working in you. That's why you need to renew your mind with God's promises, God's plans, God's pursuits, God's dreams. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Still with me? Say, call it like I see it. Then you need to see it differently than you've been seeing it. Say, see the vision. Hallelujah. If your mouth is talking down there, your life's going to be down there. Now, let me be honest with you. Learn how to get out of negativity and back into faith. If you need help, go to your mentor, your mate, and say, you know what? I'm having pain. I need you to agree with me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or I've got these negative thoughts, and I don't receive them. I deny their ability to rule my life. I want you to agree with me and then shut up about it, agree with her, and move on. I'm not saying you can't, you just got to be a sphinx, but I guarantee you one thing. What you say is what you're going to be. How many of you are glad for the mercy of God? This ain't like, gotcha, you're doomed. No, look back. How many of you know you look back with the words of your mouth and you know God was merciful? I didn't get everything I planted, amen. I got some things that he planted for me. But how many of you know that I don't want just mercy. I want the fullness. I want the fullness. So we need to be stewards of our thoughts in our mouths. Somebody say yes. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Hallelujah. Elijah, notice in the scripture, he told Ahab, get ready. Say, get ready. He said, it's going to rain. He said, you get ready, it's going to rain. Sometimes you got to get ready before you get what you're getting ready for. I am getting ready for us to have more money in this church than we've ever had before. I'm getting ready to have more leaders in small groups than we've ever had in our lives. I'm getting ready for more people to be going to small groups because it's a part of their everyday discipleship, their weekly discipleship, than we've ever had in the history of this church. And you know why? It's going to cause us to have as many people outside the church as we do inside the church, and the church is going to double and triple. I'm getting ready. Somebody say amen. I'm calling things that be not as though they already were. I'm thinking it. I'm believing it. And you know why? You know why? Because hear me. I believe God's put it in my heart that we need to be closer together. We need to be more connected. Anybody believe that? Say amen. I believe that God wants us to be healed and well. If anybody believes that, say amen. I believe God wants us to be full and not dry. I believe God wants us to be full and not thirsty and full and not hungry. I believe God wants us to be blessed and not defeated. Somebody say amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. Noah built the ark in his backyard before it ever rained. And they called him a fool. How come? Because he says it's going to rain. What is that? It's a boat. What's a boat? God says it's going to float. Float on what? Water. Well, all we've got some lakes over here, you know, and a river and some springs. What are you talking about? He said, in fact, there may have been no lakes because it had never rained. What do you mean it's going to rain? What's rain? I don't know, but God says it's going to rain. Noah's lost it. Noah's a fool. He's saying that a God told him that something that's never happened before, it's impossible, is going to happen. And get ready, get ready, get ready. And he's back there building it. He's a fool. You know what? When it came rain day, there were a lot of people saying, he's no fool. Banging on the door. He says, I'm sorry. He says, you got to get ready before you can. Oh, somebody help me here. How many of you believe that you and your family can be ready? How many of you want to get ready for the blessing of God? Then we need to be stewards over our mouths, stewards over our thoughts, stewards over our vision. I got to steward the vision. I've got to see the vision. You have to get ready to be blessed. You can't get blessed and then get ready. It's too late when the blessing comes to get in on the blessing. Are you listening? But rain is coming. Rain is coming. Is there anybody here who's willing to look like a fool for a while? Let me see your hands if you are. Oh, some of you are liars. Some of you are closet Christians. Well, no, I don't tell anybody I'm a Christian. I'm just a quiet Christian. No, you're a scared Christian. I don't get that way very often. But you know what? Honestly, we need to be unable, I'll say it again, to be shamed. Look around you. Look who's running the countries, not just ours. People who are very flawed. Shut up, don't say anymore. Are you listening? Why don't we put our faith in the living God? And say, I believe that things he promised me are coming to pass in my life. And if they ask you, say, yeah, I am a Christian. If they don't ask you, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you know what? Turn to Isaiah 41, put Isaiah 41 up there. Say, oh, what was he doing? I was praying in my prayer language. It's a language my father taught me. I thought that was funny. Nobody else did. It's a foreign language. It's a language my father taught me. Amen. The poor and needy. Yeah. The poor and needy. Wait a minute. No, that's not it. It's Isaiah. Is it Isaiah 54? I'm going to have to go search it now. Isaiah 54, 5. 54, 4. No, that's not it. That's Song of Solomon. Hold on. Hallelujah. If I keep looking, bring the piano player out here. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I'm out of time anyway. Aha, I'm with you, Luther. Isaiah 41:8, I'm sorry. You have that one? If you don't, would you create it? Isaiah 41:8. Am I good? Is it not? There it is. That ain't it. Forty-five eight. Huh? Hallelujah. Say bingo. You know what bingo is in Spanish? Bingo. Anyway. Okay, here we go. Rain down. I'm bilingual. Is that true? Yeah, see? Lord gave that to me. Okay. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Now, what does that mean? I'm talking about the vision. I'm talking about how Elijah prayed that it would rain. I'm talking about how God can open up the heavens. But look what it says. I was talking about not being ashamed to stand up and say what you believe, to stand up and say, I'm calling things that be not as though they are. Don't let the earth shame you. Don't let the people shame you. Don't let the devil shame you. Don't let your natural man shame you. Because it says, let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. You know what that's saying? There's coming a day that the rain is going to come down on the earth, and the earth, the people, the world is going to open up to salvation. They're going to open up to Jesus. Oh, somebody help me here. They're going to open up to the joy of the Lord. Israel's going to come to God in a day. Hallelujah. There's a day that's coming when the earth will be open to the joy of the Lord, the salvation message of God, the righteousness of God, and it's going to happen in this realm, in this natural realm, in the day and time that is God's choosing. But you and I need not be ashamed to call things that be not as though they already were. How many believe that scripture is true? Let me see your hand. How many believe it's coming to pass? How many know it's already done? How many we're just awaiting the day and the hour? Oh, hallelujah. Then we need to call it like we see it. I said we need to call it like we see it. You need to call your vision like it's in your heart, like you see it. You call it like God sees it. Go ahead and play. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to call what I see in my heart, no matter what, hallelujah, Jesus, no matter what I feel, no matter what others say, no matter what circumstances may look to say otherwise, I'm going to call it like he's placed it in my heart. I'm going to call it like I see it, taste and see, the vision. He gave me a hope. He gave me a dream. He gave me my ministry. He gave me your, he gave you your ministry. He gave you your family. He gave you your job. He gave you your gifts. He gave you the destiny. You're working in a hospital. You don't know how that works with God. You have to endure who you work with at the hospital. You got to live right. But God's got a plan for you everywhere you go, while you're working, when you get off of work, when you go home, while you're at church. Are you listening to me? I can point to you. Point out to you king after king after king after king. Kings are the men and women of God that are blessed to rule and to reign and to dominate and to fund and to provide. You're kings in the earth. You are the ones God's going to use, and he's placed a vision in your heart. What you and I need to do is to rekindle that vision. See it once again. Call it like God gave it to you. Call it like you see it. Elijah bowed down to the earth after he'd said it was going to rain. And he prayed. And he raised up from the earth. And he said to his servant, go see if there's rain. And he went and he came back. He says, there's no sign for rain. And he bowed down with his head between his legs. He did it once. He did it twice. He did it the third time. Go and see. There's no rain. You better be careful who you walk with, because you can't be moved by what they're saying to you. There's no rain, stupid. No. He came back and says, Master, there's no rain yet. Make sure you got the guy who's believing with you. They're going to walk with you. You're going to confide in them. They're going to serve with you. You make sure they got the same vision you have. Hallelujah. The fifth time, the sixth time, what did you do? It's not raining yet. He bowed his head between his legs. First of all, that's a birthing position. Secondly, you know what it is? When you put your head between your legs, you can't hear what people are saying. You can only hear what's inside you. When the vision hasn't come to pass, when it hasn't manifested, you just go back down between. You pray and you hear only what God says to your spirit, because you remember what I told you earlier. What God says is that he's going to bring what's in the spirit realm into the natural realm. He says, see the vision. Your young men shall see visions. They're going to see come to pass what's been in their heart. And what you are getting reminded of when you put your head between your legs is what's in your heart, even though what you have in your heart hasn't materialized yet. Get ready, get ready. It's going to materialize. And the seventh time, he said, go check again. And he says, I see a cloud, and you know the story, about the size of a man's hand. Go ahead and put the scripture back up there. I read it once, but, you know, if you can, and I say, I'll read it if you don't have it. But he could have been discouraged. I mean, you know, he's going to bring rain to a nation, and there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. You know what that looks like from the airwaves? From Earth up there in the sky? Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe a drop. He could have been discouraged. What do you do when God's answer doesn't correlate with your prayer? What do you do when God's answer to your prayer isn't what you needed? It's not enough. I'll tell you what you do. You keep calling it like you see it when you go back down, and all you can hear is what God has already said to you. Look what he said. Look what he said. Let's go back there. I guess I'm preaching. I can do what I want. I mean, you can't do that if there's somebody over you, but, well, that's not true. That's not true. Leslie's over me, and she'll get me, so I can't do that. Hold on, hold on. Hold on. Ha. Go up. He says, then it came to pass the seventh time. This is verse 44 of 1 Kings 18. Then he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Did he get discouraged? Did he quit? No. He already knew what was in his heart. And he said, go up. Go tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you, because the rain's coming like you've never seen it before. You know why? He wasn't ruled by what he saw. He was ruled by what God had given him, the first earnest of what was in his heart. And because he didn't abort it, look what happened. The scripture says, he says in the next verse, he says, before the rain stops you, and he says, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. You know what I want to tell you? You and I are the people who stand between there's no rain and there's an abundance of rain. There's no rain and there's an abundance of rain. Which side are you going to identify with? Because men and women of vision say, I'm going to call it like I saw it. Hallelujah. And suddenly the rains come. And when they come, it's everything God promised and more. How many believe God never slack concerning his promises? Does anybody have a vision here today? Can you rekindle it? Can you believe to stand between no rain and abundance of rain? I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you can receive him as Savior and Lord. Bible says he created you before you were in your mother's womb in his mind. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He created you in his mind before you were ever born. Before you ever appeared in the womb. He says, I have a plan for you. And I'm here to tell you, that plan never dies. Never, ever dies. If you want to receive Jesus, he'll introduce you to his plan for your life. On the count of three, if you want to receive Jesus, you want to know the joy that he can bring and the hope and the peace and the vision of his company and of his plan for your life. On the count of three, raise your hand. I'll pray with you right where you sit. You can receive Jesus, Savior and Lord. One, two, who's here? Three. Let me see your hands. Anybody here? God sees that hand. He would have come just for that one hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? That hand, that hand, that hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hand. God sees it too.
Holy is your name, Lord.
You can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer. Church, pray with us. Father, I receive your son Jesus as the Savior and forgiver of my sins. I receive Jesus as the rock of my salvation. I receive you now, having been washed white as snow. I ask you to teach me your ways. Show me the vision you have for my life. And as you teach me that vision and show me that vision, I will call it like I see it. And I won't settle for second best. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a victory clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.